All right, I believe it's at St. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou, then show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandment, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hears not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Now a lot of times you hear me speaking about Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and the Father. And I know a lot of people misconstrue these things. We've kind of made mention before of how they misconstrue things as pertaining to the Godhead, whereas they do not properly differentiate. And in some teachings, they divide God up into a trinity, as to where they make three gods. And then in another teaching, they do away with the Heavenly Father, and they say it is Jesus and there is nothing else. But in spite of all that, through the Bible, you read where Paul said, I give glory to the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, or I give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And even as Jesus said here, he said, I go to my Father because he is greater than I. It's hard to understand if Jesus is, as you say, some of you, then what does he mean that there's somebody greater than he is, if he hath no father? How could that be, that if he hath no father, how could someone somewhere be greater than he? Is there anybody greater than the Lord Jesus Christ? So someone would say, well, I got that figured out. Well, when we get through preaching tonight, I'd like for you to explain it to me. But in the event that you just got, as we would say, a brainstorm, it might be good then if you consider the word. And when he said, I go to my Father because he is greater than I, just take it for what he said. It's all right. Let's give the Lord. Ever high said it, that's the way it is. He knows more about the Father than anybody else. And if he said the Father was greater than he is, then what should we say? The Father was greater than he. You love the Lord? All right, that's kind of hard to swallow down, ain't it? But people who twist the scriptures and a lot of times think they know something that they don't understand or don't know, they really get things balled up like a little kitten with a ball of yarn. And then they get everybody else balled up because the other people don't know which way to go and they're just taking the word of the individual. So they're in worse shape than when they heard the person that said what they said or when the person preached. So then, why is there a definite distinction between the eternal God and the Son? The reason for it is because Jesus was flesh, and not only flesh, but made in the image of sin. And God was the great eternal spirit. And according to the Bible, being the great eternal spirit, it hath nothing to do with the flesh, not at all. So then someone would say, well, you know, the word was made flesh. I know that, but the word also made me flesh. Did it make you flesh? If it didn't make you flesh, who made you? The Bible said all things were made by God, and without God there was nothing made that was made. All things emanated from God. So then you can't take that and prove anything as to saying that the Father was not greater than him when he said the Father was greater. And so then we see that as he told Thomas, thrust your hands in where the spear went and into the nail prints, and don't be unbelieving. And then when they said, it is a spirit, he said, fill of me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones. Now you've never seen a spirit with flesh and bones. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Where somebody said, but that was God made flesh. It depends on what you're saying and whether you understand what you're saying or not. For he said, fill of me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones. Or he was saying, my Father, who is greater than I, he hath not flesh and bones, for God is a spirit. And in the fourth chapter of John, it tells us he's a spirit. So then we realize that there's a definite difference, just like there's a definite difference between the Holy Ghost and Jesus. And there is a definite difference between you and your spirit. Someone would say, well, I don't feel like there's any difference between me and my spirit. Well, why is it that they put you in a coffin when your spirit ain't around? Someone would say, well, my spirit's still here. Well, what you doing in a coffin? There must be a definite difference somewhere. See, the Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. So then, it's easy to understand what Jesus was saying when the Bible said that he made in himself twain. He made in himself twain, more than one. He made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ. So we could get into a lot of things in that tonight, but I only mentioned that to bring about a thought, and that thought is that this is one world that we're living in as a human being, and that as to where our spirit goes to when it departs the body is another world altogether. The spirit world. Is there such a world as spirit world? Is there such a world, a spirit world? There is. There is. And we wonder, you know, about this world unless we understand it, unless we study it. Brother Gilbert was telling us today that a horrible thing happened last night, I believe it was. His brother committed suicide last night. And then, of course, Brother Lynn was reminding us of the thing that happened when his brother committed suicide quite a long while ago. And these things happening to us as a family or happening to us as a people, then we're prone to wonder where the spirit went to. We know where the body went to because we followed the body out to the graveside. But then we wonder where the spirit went to, in that the body and the spirit has separated, and at death of the body, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it, or that is to say, when the life of the body, which is the spirit, departs from the body, then the body without that spirit is dead, which makes it evident that the life of that body is the spirit, that there's no life in flesh. I say this so often that we kind of pamper ourselves, you know, and we work with the flesh. And all down through the years, we do all these kind of things with the body, with the flesh, you know. And then we find out too late that all of our effort was wasted. That wasn't anything to it. And we realize then that we should have placed the emphasis on the spirit, and that all of our effort should have been toward the spirit and not toward the flesh, because the flesh profiteth nothing. And in that we give all of our time to the flesh, then our labor at the end of the way consists of exactly nothing. All of our endeavors became nothing because we were perverted in our understanding and our thinking, and our minds and motivations in life was in the wrong direction. So then we profit nothing because we give our time to feeding the mouth and the belly, and all of our labor is for the belly because our belly craves it of us, the Bible said, in that God has put the old generation of vipers or the serpent on his belly. All of his labor is for his belly. And he is never spiritual. He's always intellectual. He reasons with his intellect. Everything that he does is with his intellect. All of his plans is with his intellect. All of his activities of life is inspired as to an intellect. And he is intellectually always using up his life, because life consists of time. And time is stretched out as over a long period. And this thing as called time takes your life. I've said this a lot of times. I ask you to get in here and do something with me, or I give you a job to do, or I desire to use you, and indeed we do. Not to misuse you as some do, but to use you. And I want to use you, and then after 2 or 3 years you think, my God, he's took part of my life. I didn't take part of your life. You just stayed around Bethlehem while your life went down the drain by means of time. See, if you'd have been somewhere else, you'd have spilled in just as old and wouldn't have done anything for God, and time would still have taken your life. So then I don't take your life. No one takes your life. You have your own life to live. If you get out here and you get killed by an automobile, and then the court says he took this man or this woman's life, that's wrong. They did not take his life. The Bible said you shorten your life by your disobedience. You have the power over your life to watch and pray. You have the power to acknowledge God in all of your ways, that God may direct your path. And God is not a murderer. He's not going to direct your path to step out in front of an oncoming vehicle. You know, when people die, when diseases happen or different things happen, they say, well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord killed him. Now, you don't believe that, do you? I don't believe that God's a murderer. God gives life. Somebody said, well, God takes life. God takes life after this fashion. God says, I do not afflict willingly. And the Bible says that I have no pleasure in death, not even the death of the wicked. I would that even the wicked would repent, and that the wicked could have eternal life. So then it is not God's will, and God only afflicts in the sense that he allows the affliction. As it was said to the Hebrews coming out of Egypt, he said to them, if you will keep my commandments, if you will keep my statutes, and if you will do that which is right in my sight, he said, hearken unto my commandments,
diligently hearken unto me, I will not bring upon you the afflictions, the plagues, the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians. If you will do this, and in the original Hebrew it says, I will not allow these things to come upon you. And so then when we walk in faith, when we serve God and do the things that's pleasing to God, then God gives us a clear conscience to a shield of faith, and the shield of faith quenches all the fire darts of the wicked, and the devil doesn't have any power to hurt us. Because God is our shield. God is our buckler. God is the one that keeps us from all of the terrors of the evil one. For he said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Which means that you shorten your days by your disobedience. The preacher preaches a sermon like tonight. The preacher preaches a sermon as come Sunday on Sunday morning. He preaches another sermon on Sunday night. He warns you against evil and wrong. He tells you what's right. He tells you what it takes to please God. You don't pay any attention to it. You say, wow, that's just too hard to understand. I don't understand it. But yet you send your little children to school and you tell them that they're to learn algebra and they're to learn, understand chemistry and they're to learn mathematics and they're to understand history, and you're ready to take a belt if they don't understand it. And you keep them in there for hours and hours, and then if they come home with a bad mark, a lot of you, you give them a licking, as we say. You take and you whip them, or you beat them, as the Bible calls it. See, so then, you don't understand. See, you are not all there, as we say up here, as to your proper understanding. And your evaluation of life and things is altogether out of order. And yet you go through your life like that. You never understand during your whole life. When you want to whip the children, you do not whip them for their benefit. You whip them because you're angry or they got you upset. And the Bible said you correct them for your own will and desire. Your behavior is altogether wrong. As I've said in time past, everything you do is always for your own good. Everything that you desire, all of your life is selfish and given to your own self. All down through life. See, even from the time you're a little baby kicking your feet in the cradle when you want your bottle. And when you raise your children, it's for a selfish motive. When you have your children, it's for a selfish motive. All that you do for people, you do it with some personal ambition or selfish motive as to a motivation toward an end, as to your own values. See, and that's bad. That's bad. That's not the way of Jesus. That's not the way of God. So then we see that we're perverted from our birth. And all of the things that we do is wrong. And God said, if you will listen to me, I'll rearrange your thinking and I'll reprogram your life. And if you'll take a little time to listen and try to learn, even as you expect your children to take a little time and listen and learn, then you will learn also. And then you'll know a better way of life, and you won't have that old ugly resentment of that demon spirit that's always troubling you and troubling the minister and troubling them around you. And you won't have that old jealous, ugly spirit that's always warring against the minister or warring against your neighbor or somebody else. You'll have just a plain, clear, down-to-earth, straightforward attitude as to how you feel about a thing, and you'll express it, and that'll be it. And you won't go off with that old whining and surmising of mine and gossiping and backbiting and reveling in the world and the desire, passions, and all these things. You won't do that. See, you won't gossip and backbite and find fault and put people down in your minds or put those down that are the children of God. When the Bible said that you can't lay anything to their charge, did you know that with all of the gossiping from the foundation of the world, all of the problems as to fault finding from the foundation of the world that has been placed against God and His children, did you know that according to the Bible, there has never been one tiny hairline of justification for any tongue that has ever risen? And the Bible said that in the day of judgment, God will get them up out of the ground that's gossip. He'll take all of them from Bethlehem that's gossip, and all of them from around the world that's gossip and spoken anything against the child of God or against the minister. And He said, in every tongue that rises against thee in the day of judgment, I will condemn it. No weapon that is formed shall prosper against thee. Like David Paul was asking me today, he said, what would you do in a case like George Bush? He's got himself into a trap, and he doesn't know what to do. And now he's saying, he's threatening to attack Israel. What would you do? I said, the thing that I would do, the first thing that I would do, I would check my ways. I would check up on myself. I wouldn't check up on Mr. Hussein, and I wouldn't check up on the foreign powers that was alien to me. I'd check up on me. The Bible said, if your ways please God, he maketh even your enemies to be at peace with you. And if our ways was pleasing God, Mr. Hussein wouldn't rise up against us to begin with. See, it's the fault of America. It's the hypocritical people that are in the United States of America that's robbing the poor and the IRS and the government and all of these other things. That's where the problem's coming from. It's mothers that are hypocritical. Today, did you know that they don't have any body as to the soldiers, anybody back home that can really pray for them? Did you know that all of the churches have gotten themselves into a charismatic mess, and that they are hypocritical, and people that are supposedly serving God, that they couldn't pray the prayer of faith if they tried, and that them boys don't have anything behind them as to help them to win a war, and that the Bible said that the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong, but the battle is the Lord's, and that the watchman that riseth to keep the city or the wall riseth but in vain unless the Lord keeps the city? I said the first thing I would do is check up on my ways. I would make sure that my heart was right with God and I was doing the right thing and that I was a leader of the people. I said the next thing I would do, I would inform those people that they need to get their lives straightened out and stop being a religious cult. But that they need to come to God and come to the Word of God, and that they need to straighten their lives out before God. And then when we did all of this, then we'd consider the other. I said we'd consider the other after we did all of that. So then, as you know, as to the war, as to pertaining to that, Mr. Hussein hasn't backed down, and even the little peace talk hasn't gotten over. And so then on a Tuesday of this coming week, I believe it is, then they're supposed to strike and have war. Well, nevertheless, I know that you don't want any war. I don't want any war. But folks, tell me something. Though we pray, God, don't let there be war, because there'll be bloodshed. But the thing is, I ask you this question. Is there any peace to the wicked? Is America then the great, wonderful, beloved nation of God that we say she is? Don't be absurd. There's nothing great and beloved about America in the sight of God. America is the most hypocritical nation on the face of the earth. Somebody said, you don't have a right to say that. I have a right to say that because I've traveled around the world, all over the world, numbers of times. I certainly have a right to say it. You know more than any nation in the world, and you do less to serve God than most any nation in the world with even half of what you know. The Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. And you're indicted before God, and you're going to pay before God, not because I want you to pay, but not because God wants you to pay, but because you will not listen. You will not serve God. You will not get right. You will not do right. So then there are plagues all over the nation and all over the world, and America is filled with plagues, and the hospitals, there's not enough hospitals to take care of them. There's not enough medical as to the profession of the medical world to take care of them. There is not enough prisons. Even in the prison, some have to stay up while others sleep. And they're building more prisons and more prisons. And yet you're still wild with buying. Stores are springing up everywhere as to great stores like Sam Walton's store. And there's Sears that's stretched out in riches and all of the great stores of the nation. And of the world, they stretched out more and more, but I pinpoint the thing here in America. And all you do is buy and sell and eat and drink. Always a new car, always another home, always something else you've got to buy and put on the inside of the home. Always new clothing, you've got to have more. You've got to lay up money for your child to become a heathen by sending him to college and giving him what you call a college education, When you know and I know that such things as streaking right over here in this Athens College, that's where those things originate, is out of the old tree of knowledge. And you know that when you sent your daughter, you turned her into a prostitute. And when you sent your son, you turned him into a whoremonger. And you paid the board for them to commit their evil fornication and practices right there with those people. And what they call the great sportsmen of the world as to the ball players and whatever is a bunch of drunkards throughout the world, it's known. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Well, prove it. Prove it. Somebody said, prove yours. I can prove mine. The papers are full of it. The radio is full of it. Right here, what they call the dogs over here. As to these in Athens, they say it's one of the worst drinking, vomiting, filthy messes that you've ever seen after a ball game when they all get together. That they're just like pigs in slop or in the mire. All right, somebody said, tell it like it is. That's the way it is. That's exactly the way it is. And if we'll quit playing these things up on the billboards to put it in the hearts of our children and making heroes out of those people that are just down to the very bottom, as Paul said, the base type. And if we'll lift up the thing that's holy and the thing that's righteous and the thing that's godly and the thing that's pure, we'll have peace. We'll have peace. For the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. These people are wicked. But the Bible said righteousness exalteth the nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Did our power of arms exalt America? If it did, how did it do it when we didn't have any power of arms when we came here? We didn't even have enough as to put up the money to form a nation. And we were on the run from the old country, just nip and tuck to keep our lives. And then when we got over here, across between the Indians and the white man, it was still death. Where did our exaltation come from? It came from God when mothers and daddies called on God, and when people that were supposed to be ignoramuses as compared to the educated heathens of today, let me say it like that, as they prayed. Today it's just a bunch of educated heathens that's got a form of government and a form of diplomacy and a form of society that does nothing but rob and steal and kill and all kind of evil, filthy things. See, sin is a reproach to any people. And it's just like today when Brother James Isaac brought me a couple of clippings that over here in Indiana, the state of Indiana, the little place called the Kitty Cat, where they're dancing nude. And when the complaint was made that they should dance like that, think, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived was over there all this many years, and now they got the Kitty Cat. See, and when they went to the federal leaders about it, the federal leaders said, we don't see anything obscene about them doing that. And so then they let it go on. When they were confronted about certain art societies as to what you pay for it. It was found that these men and women, even lesbians, homosexuals, that they are sitting there day after day and they're painting the most filthy, nude, ungodly pictures. But you are the one that's paying their salary. You are the one that supports it. The paper scattered it that they're taking part of your taxpaying money and it is given to them with a regularity. All right, so it is a wicked, adulterous, sinful generation. Like I said the other day, they talk about these boys drinking whiskey. And I say this again, they say, and they went off and they just, the poor boys is living in such a bad day and the youth is in such a bad day. And I said, that's a lie. I said, this youthful generation had the best day of any day that's ever been in the history of mankind. They eat, they drink, they don't work, they cheat, they steal, they con. You furnish them a car and they just do whatever they want to whenever they get ready. There ain't never been a generation more rotten on the face of the earth than this one. And Jesus did not call them a drunken generation. He did not say that. They say, well, we just took a little dope and we just had a little drink and we are addicted. That's not what it is. You are a whore and you are a whoremonger and you're running after one another and you just take a little drink and a little dope to spice the party. That's the truth of it. That's exactly the truth of it. You drink your whiskey just because you want to party and carry on your evil, dirty, low-down way of life, whether it be as those things that I mentioned in perversion or whatever it is. Because the Bible says, and the scriptures can't be broken, it said a sinful and an adulterous generation. That's what you are. You're an adulterous generation, and you just got whiskey and all these other things to go along with it. All right, so then we see why that the Lord said, if you will keep my commandments, and if you will do that which is right in my sight, and if you will walk upright before me, and if you will hearken to do my statutes, he said, I will move sickness out from among you. For I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I heal all of your diseases, and I forgive all of your iniquities. Folks, after what we were, as Paul said, some fornicators and liars and such were some of you before you came to God. He said, I will forgive that because you didn't understand and you didn't know as to the real confrontation of the word. You knew better than to do that. You always had better sense than to do that. But as to be able to know God's will and God's word, you did not. And you did not have anything that could keep you from doing that as to a strength. You didn't have it. See, but now you have God. Now you know God, or that is to say, we are a religious nation or a religious world. When the gospel has been preached into all of the world for a witness, then shall the end come. When they come to the knowledge of the truth, then there's no more remission for sin. So God brings the end. And people are fast through the TVs, through the newspapers, through evangelism, missionary endeavors, sacrifice of people. They are fast coming to the knowledge of the truth. And the Bible said, when they come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. So he considers you to be an adversary in the sense that the carnal mind is enmity to God and it's death. And they that are carnal minded are abiding in death, and there's no hope for them as to while they are going to be carnal. All right, so then we see that America is a wicked nation. And not only America, but all over the world. So there's no peace to the wicked. They'll cry peace and then sudden destruction. There is no such thing as peace to the wicked. But all of the paths of God are peace. It's evident that they are not in the path of God. It's evident that they're doing wrong and not walking with the Lord Jesus. See, they are illuminated with something that's from the wrong world, and that's the powers of fallen angels. And they are corrupt in their mind, and they love the things of the world, and they're continually cheating. As it was, I heard today that in the Carolinas, over in the state of the Carolinas, that they have learned that everyone, I believe they marked everyone according to the report, that they have it somewhere at some times as to the diplomats taken a bribe from somebody that had a big operation as to vote or say yes to a vote in this manner that they might get the business. So in finding this out, they put the police on it, which that's normal with the world. They got the investigation going as to the powers and the authorities. And when they did, soon they learned that these people that were police as to powers and authorities was working with these other people to keep them out of jail. They said, now, if you'll go do such and such and such, we'll let you off. And that's the way it is. Solomon said, and I looked into the world as to the places of judgment, and I found corruption. Now, folks, you tell me that that is a society of God. You tell me that government like that is of God, where they're selling each other out and they're doing these things and they're practicing all of this as to a deceit, as to larceny, as to these practices of evil. It's like the Bible said, Satan, Lucifer, even that fallen angel that's called the devil, he's climbed up into the upper lintels, as to the heavenly places, that is to say, while the blood is on the seat of atonement, while this thing is going on to where there's a little bit of mercy See, and he's climbed up into that, into human bodies. He's got into the presence of God, and he is working all of these gimmicks and all of these kind of things, and that's the kind of a government and constraint that you're under. That's why that I don't bother to go to the polls as many of them do. I go to my knees. Someone said, well, you need to vote in who you want. I do by going to my knees. I don't have enough understanding and sense to know who we need. Because it's six of one and half a dozen of another. You put them all together, all of them are the same. I'd rather get them all out and put sons of God in there. I'd rather do that and have the government that's upon his shoulder. So then whatever the one is, he's only saying that to get his benefit, as when he gets in there, he's going to do what he wants to. See, so I go to God and I cast my vote for the one that God wants in there. Because the Bible said, since the world was, God raiseth up one and God puts down another. And princes and kings rule by God. And that God holds the king's heart in his hand. And God turns it whithersoever he will, like the rivers of waters. And God creates the good and evil. And God works all things after the counsel of his own will, as to have his way in the affairs of mankind. Somebody will say, what do you mean by that? I mean, according to history, when you go back and just check the history, even of the biblical history, you'll find out that even in biblical history, that every time people done good, God raised them up a good leader. Every time they done wrong, God raised them up a bad leader. Check it. I've checked it to see. And in every case where they live for God and done right, then the battle not to the strong, or the race to the swift, God would win their battles and God would fight for them. And God told them, said, if you do these things that my way should please you, he said, I'll make your enemies bow down at your feet, and I'll make them to flee before you, and I'll make them to know that I have loved you. And he said, if you do the things that please me, if you honor me and you do the right things, I'll give you long life, and I'll bless your children with long life and health and happiness, and you'll have long life and happiness. What's wrong with the children? I say again, the parents haven't eaten sour grapes, the children's teeth are on edges. That is, the parents never listen to the minister, so the children are twice as bad. All right, so then we see that where the problem is that they've forsaken God. He said, you've committed two evils. One of them is you've forsaken the living God. He said, the next thing is you've hewn you out cisterns that can't hold water, even broken cisterns. And so then we find that the problem is with you and I. The problems is with the people. We cast our vote for the right man, and that God knows who the right man is. So we pray and say, Father, thy will be done. Father, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That way, the government is upon the shoulders of the people of God. But it is a horrible thing to have to recognize and realize that this whole world is nothing but a mire and a place of walla as to corruption. The whole world, the military, the educational system, the medical profession, the societies of the world, all of it put together, except for God's people, is nothing but a hog walla and vomit as the dogs to lamp. That is why that Jesus said, they that are without are swine and they are dogs. Because that's their practice. The government of today is of the devil, whether it be here in America, whether it be any place in the world. Someone would say, Brother Pike, not among the Jews. All of them. Paul said, I prove that both Jew and Gentile is under sin. All of them's in the same condition. Over there in Israel, you'll find priests drinking and smoking and trying to tell you what to do and wanting to stone other people to death. I've been there personally. I've heard their testimony personally. I've seen the things, and I know for sure this is not something I have to read out of the newspapers that's always lying, that never gets anything right. Very rare, that is. I won't say never. But it's just like I heard recently of this man was with the Chicago Tribune, was it? Some great newspaper, retired after almost 40 years or something like that. I can't be for sure. But anyway, when he retired, somebody was talking to him about the paper. He was the editor. He said, the paper? He said, I never read the paper. He said, the paper is just full of lies. And he was the editor all that time. And like the man that talked to me over in India, that was their leading sports writer that come out to interview us, had in the past been with them as the very top. He said, Brother Pike, when he got under conviction as we talked, he said, I just tell you the truth. He said, the papers don't care about nothing except selling the paper. Said they're looking for sensation. Let's give the Lord a hand. You say, why? Because the word is true. The word of God is true. That's the way the world is. That's the way the world is. Somebody says, but just look what we've got out of the medical world, Brother Pike. You've got a bunch of prostitutes out of it and a bunch of whoremongers out of it. They have took your ladies and stripped them off and made prostitutes out of them. Ladies that would never have done the things that they'd done. After that, they'd stripped them down and done them the way that they did and run them through the pig pen. After that, they didn't have any conscience or conviction anymore. And the men have been done the same way. It's the same old thing. Somebody said, well, don't you believe in medicine? The Bible said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A medicine is given of God. It's not given of the medical profession. Somebody would say, well, I think it come from those brilliant men. Well, those brilliant men come from the tree of knowledge. And if it come from those brilliant men, who's more brilliant than Satan that inspired them all to their brilliance? And why is it the Bible said that in that day, when the church goes out and grace is taken away, that Bible said there will not be any healing medicines. That they won't have any healing medicines. If healing is of the medicine and not of God, it's to the mercy that God has given people. Or even the things that they have. We put our pennies together, I say so often, we build a hospital. They solicit and they take. And then when we get it, we can't use it. It is so expensive that we can't afford it. See, and then you got to start trying to carry some kind of insurance that you can't afford. Everything that they do is a bunch of devils that boycott and take the benefit of the working man. All of them is the same. See, it's the same thing. You have to buy this and you have to buy that and you have to have this. And all these things put together, you've got to buy a tag. You've got to have license. Why do you have to have all these things? Somebody said, well, it's just understood. Understood to what? That it's for them so they can keep tab on you. They can put you over here on the computer and they can make sure that you pay your part as you go along, that nobody gets by without paying their dues. That's exactly what it's for. It's the bunch of boycotting devils throughout the world. See, this is the way it is, folks. And yet you want to stick your child in college to try to make them have a place among these devils and demons. Is that correct? Do you think you ought to do that? The Bible said that you actually, for a glass of wine, a bottle of beer, as we say, or a dollar or a little prestige, said you actually sacrifice your children to devils, and that you cannot eat at the table of God and eat at the table of devils. Intellectual reasoning is carnality, is contrary to God, it's of the devil. And you say, well, I believe God's got a place for the education. He has, the bottomless pit. Amen. See, the thing is, if education is right as to the things of the world, then why did he say, cast down imagination and every high thing that it exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, and said, lean not to your understanding or your own understanding? Where is the place left for education? And why is it the Bible said all of them that are born of God are of a good understanding, when Jesus had no schooling whatsoever? Somebody said, well, I think people ought to be taught a little good common sense. I think, personally, that the people of God have a little good common sense and they can teach their children some good common sense. They don't have to send them out to a bunch of devils. Somebody said, well, I can't help it. They make me do it. I know it. That's why they're a bunch of devils. Let's give the Lord a hand. See, they do it. They force you to do it. The old Hitler thing is just exactly that way. You don't want them to go. You're worried about them. I know there's some mothers, you know, they want them to go because the school babysits them all the time while they can frolic, but they're a devil too. And the daddies that are devils care less too, whether the mama's virtues or whether she ain't. All right, so then we're telling it like it is. So we see that this whole world is nothing but vanity. You know, like the old saying, there's an old saying, a lot of old sayings, you know, you hear that they represent something. Little fables that you hear represent something. Little stories that God has suffered to be there to kind of catch the attention of little ones, to keep them from just completely, you know, going off, as we say, on the deep end. But it's like you hear, you know, they used to say, break a mirror, you got 7 years bad luck. And I thought, well, what in the world could that represent? I know it has to represent something. You know, and then I heard something where the Lord said, and the world, as to Solomon, it's vanity, all is vanity. I said, well, now my mama told me, well, vanity was a mirror, you know, a dresser. And I thought, that's it. You know, the reflection, all of this world is nothing but a reflection of the world that is invisible. And because it reflects it, then Satan, the god of reflection, is the ruler of it. And in that it's only a reflection of life, and if it isn't a reflection of life, where is life when you lay down to die? Where is it? Who got it? Where did it go to? Why did it stay with us? But it's only a reflection of life, as when the sun goes down, there's no more image in the mirror. There's no more reflection of light in the mirror. All right, so then we see the sun going down as upon the Gentile people. The vanity of life, all is vanity. All of the wealth is vanity. All of the sparkle and glitter as to the glories of this world are vanities. Vanities, and it's only symbolic of the invisible world as that which is to come with the great wonderful God of heaven and of all eternity. See, so after a while, when everything is thus as to God wanting it, then the mirror is going to be broken, for the hills are going to crumble, and the earth is going to crumble, and the people are going to crumble, and all is going to break all to pieces. The heavens will be shattered, and blood and shrapnel, as we say, or hail, will rain down upon the people, and the mountains will crumble down. And John said, I saw the mountains moved out of their places, and the ocean, the seas, the rivers turned to blood, and the stars falling from heaven, and the moon turning to blood. See, it's going to be broken, and following that, there's going to be 7 years of bad luck. And that is those tribulation years that's coming in behind that, where the Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. God is going to get rid of the vanities. He's going to do away with all of the vanities so that we will not be vanity in His sight. Well, anyway, we could go on and go on talking about this as to the spirit world, as to the natural world. But I say again, they that are earthy is for that which is earthy, and they have an earthly mind. And their life and their love, as to the love of the world in them, the love of the Father is not there. And that love for vanity and the love for this body, the love for this appearance, the love for the glitter of the gold and the diamonds and the jewels and the money and the convenience and the education and the prestige and the praise of human beings, all of it's with them that are earthy. But as the heavenly, so are they that are heavenly, for they mind the things that are in heaven. That is, their thoughts are heavenly, even as earthly people's thoughts are earthly. And their treasures are in heaven, and their desire is in heaven, and their ambition is toward the things of heaven, and they are working and striving to lay up treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. For the Bible said, wherever your treasures are, there will your heart be also. All right, so then we see that we're almost at the end of the Gentile age, just about down to the end of the trail for the people of the Gentiles. And then the converting over, it's very obvious that we're right on the verge of that. Or, if we're not, why is all of this thing going on in the Eastern world? Why is it like that in the Eastern world? Why is it like that if that isn't the way that it is? See, right now, at this time, everything is just ready to blow up like a powder keg, as we say. And the Jews are sitting on ready. And they say that if Iraq attacks us, we're going to retaliate. And Jordan says, if you do, you've got to come across my territory or whatever, and we'll fire on you. It'll give them an occasion against the Jews to fire on them, to show you the ugly, evil, devilish mind that's over there. And why do they want to destroy Israel? Why do they want to destroy Israel? Israel is a peaceable country by nature. Why do they want to destroy Israel? It is not them that wants to destroy Israel. It has never been them that wanted to destroy Israel. It is the devil. It is the evil mind that he's put in them. The devil wants to do away with Israel because that's the royal seed through which the Son of God must come. He's always tried to make that nation extinct. When the Bible speaks of salvation, salvation is not of America like we think that it is. Blessed, holy America. It's not of Germany. It's not of Russia. It's not of Iraq or any other country in the world. The Bible says salvation is of the Jew. Jesus wasn't born in Germany or in America. He was born in Israel. That's where he was born. I've been to his home place. You've been there. I've been to the gravesite. Been to where he was crucified. He grew up among them people. He lived his life among them people. He never lived a day in the other countries that I know of. Jesus never hardly got out of the radius and confines of that land. He was pretty close in there all the time. See, because they are the royal seed, what profit is there in being a Jew, Paul said? Chiefly, much, every way. Because unto them was committed the oracles of God as to the foundational principles of bringing an understanding to a heathenistic world. It was the Jews that suffered all of these things, even as to the Holocaust and being out of the presence of God and going through all of these things so that we might have grace. I'd like to comment on that. But nevertheless, I'm just saying, this is why that they are against Israel, and this is why there's such a turmoil, and this is why they keep on doing the things that they're doing, and they won't let Israel rest. See, they're not going to let them rest. And I perceive that Israel is looking at it like this, that we are continually in derision. And we are continually threatened by the Arab people, which is about 1 billion people, they say. And being continually threatened by the nations of the world, having gone through the Holocaust from one nation to another, being kicked around and mistreated. Now, because of this, and we're such a little people, that we had better, while we have America over here and all the nations over here, and knowing that we're threatened all the time and they may just wipe us out, now's the time to really stir the pot and let this thing just be an all-out war, and America will have to defend us or stand with us and show their colors. You know, and if we just ripple the waters a little, ruffle the feathers a little bit, we'll have an all-out war. They're going to kill us anyway. Why not just go at it full force? Whereas they told Iraq, said, if you attacked us, said, we will put everything that we've got on top of you. So when they say that, they mean that. Like the girls, 15, 16 years old, the boys, whatever, you find them girls walking around with machine guns over there, just like you find them little old boys walking around with machine guns. I'm talking about just walking around with them. We'd be driving along in a car, and they're on the side of the road hitchhiking with their guns on their back. You pick them up and give them a ride. Fine folks. You understand what I'm saying? So then, the thing is just right for an all-out war. Somebody said, well, I don't think there's going to be any war. Well, you need your thinker rearrange. You need a reprogramming of your thinker because you are all out of shape. See, the scriptures cannot be broken. And the Bible says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And the Bible says in Revelation 8 that these four winds apparently as to Revelation 7 was turned loose and everything went berserk till the mountains were moved out of their places and the earthquakes began to happen. And the Bible says, John said, and I saw the nations of the world crumble to the ground. Somebody said, this little old thing over in Iraq, I made the statement, it's like hitting an octopus in the head with his tentacles everywhere, or like striking a cancer. And this cancer has a little roots running out all over the world. See, and when you strike it, you're going to strike the entire world. Watch and see. It's going to be the entire world, and there will never be peace again. Never. It'll be on and on in the final consummation. So like somebody was saying today, when Hitler said, we want peace, just let us over here, they let him in that one place. And it wasn't long thinking that they had peace. And said they got up and cried, peace. At last we've got peace.
And he just went through those countries, all those little countries, clear over to France. And just took Holland and them, just one right after another, just like that, until he had the whole thing. See, you can't have peace with the devil. How do you know that? Have you ever tried to make peace with the devil? The devil doesn't want any peace. You can't make peace with the devil. There is no peace to the devil. No peace to the demons. No peace to the wicked. What is the demon? Fallen angel. It's a fallen angel. See, there's no peace to the rulers of darkness. And what is the darkness? Your intellectual, educational source of life. As to your diplomacy of life. And who is your master? The devil. And who is your father? The devil. And who instigated the educational system? The devil. And all of them that came out of Egypt, the Bible said they were of a good understanding. And the Bible says that they had so much wisdom that when they went into Canaan, all of the educational systems as to the world was afraid of them because of their understanding. And the Bible said it's concerning Stephen. When they stoned him, they could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake. For wisdom maketh a man's face to shine, and they saw it as that of an angel. So then when they were in the wilderness, they never had one college. They never set up one of the educational systems. But all of them were great and mighty in their understanding. They didn't have any hospitals. But the Bible said that not one of them was sick among them. For 40 long years they were there. They never went hungry. They never had to worry about anything. Someone would say, well, I just don't see how you could do that. Well, I tell you what you do. Take the Bible and make a little study of the Garden of Eden, and you'll see that they didn't have to have those things there. Let's give the Lord a hand. When God originally made man, they didn't have to have them. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? Don't you know that we've got to have all of these things? Well, they didn't have them. They didn't have them. Well, don't you know that we've got to have the courthouse, and we've got to have the judge, and we've got to have. I say this, that even in my lifetime as a boy, if you can look back to the old farms where people wasn't, as in their houses, laid door to door, but they had 30 or 40 acres and they could farm and they could raise their old cow and they could have their bread and they could have their milk and they could have their meat and they could have their little family. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you don't understand. They couldn't get a college education like that. I know, but they didn't need a college education. Somebody said, well, you must have it. What do you get it for? Isn't it to feed your belly? They were already feeding their bellies. Let's give the Lord a hand. Does somebody have to put you in school for 10, 12, 15 years to tell you that you're supposed to make a living and feed your belly? Somebody said, well, ain't that what they done for us? They give us a living. No, what they done for you? They got you away from those things and they got you into this little boycott deal of theirs where they've got you turning like a cartwheel all the time, going from one thing to another that you have to have. You have to have. You have to have this. And you have to have insurance. And you have to pay this, pay that, and then light bills and all the other things that you have to have, you know. You have to buy this, and you have to pay this, and you have to go to school, and you have to have the tuition, and you have to have your taxes. Whatever it is, they put you on that little wheel to turn you that the devil could control you in a numerical order. He'll bring it down closer and closer until he'll give you a number, and you'll be numbered. You're already numbered as to the Social Security and whatever. But anyway, he'll bring you down to that one control as to the Antichrist. When he brings you down to that, he'll have full control. He just about has full control of you now. Somebody said, well, I'm a sovereignty in the blessed America that we live in. Well, I tell you what, I don't know what kind of sovereignty you have. Is there anything that you can do that you want to do? Somebody says, oh, yes. You don't do nothing but what the devil tells you to do. The only people that don't do those things is people of God. All of the rest of them, the Bible says that they are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. And they're under these boycotts and constraints of these incarnate devils. These devils that have personified themselves, and Satan has taken over and will take over supremely, that all of them might be under him and then give them a number 666 to where they can never be saved. Never. All right, I'm going to close in just a minute. But I want to say this,
That's where you are. You already had your food on the farms and in the primitive ways of life. Even as I came up as a boy, we didn't need all of those other things. Somebody said, well, don't you understand things better today? I sure do. I know the devil's got the world more than I ever knew it in my life. That's right. See, I didn't know too much about it back there as to the devil having the world, because I wasn't interested in the devil, even though the devil took advantage of people then. But we were just quiet, meek, down to earth, sensible, sober people that worked for a living. You know, we didn't know anything about the polished ethics of education, where you get control of 10 men and take their salary proportionally, a little at a time, till you can get all of it. We didn't know about that. And then turn it into a communism sort of a thing as to a complete control of humanity. All right, so then what has happened? What is it that's taken place? It's the regime of the devil, and the people have left their sovereignties as to the farm life and as to the common life and gone to all of these things. And now they are a bunch of fools under the control of the leader of fools. And until you come to God and find God, then you are still a fool. For the Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And to you that deny God and his ways and mock God's people and won't live holy even when you're religious, you are a fool, and the biggest kind of fool. So then, what should we do? We should do, as he said, keep my commandments. Do the things that I ask you to do, and I'll make you the head and not the tail, and I'll move the curse, and I will not bring this curse upon you. And brethren, that's what he's done through the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone that can believe. That's what he's done for every Bethlehemite that can be honest and sincere. That's what he's done for every religious person in the world that knows about God, and in the meantime has given grace out unto to them that are without, that they too might be covered with the grace of God until the church is mature. All right, let's stand together. I've said my little sermonette, and one of these days maybe we'll even get to preach a sermon if you keep on learning patience. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing a little chorus together. Appreciate your kind and undivided attention tonight. I try to stop when I see that you're fed to the fool, you're not going to listen, or you're ready to go. But I can't stop. I just can't stop. I have to go until I clear this thing out to where those that will hear it outside will have a full understanding of what little exhortation we're bringing. And you need to have patience, even if it took that old flesh to the cross a little bit, as to give your body a living sacrifice, which is but a reasonable service, in that you spend all of your time in the natural and for the world and give very little time to the Word. You should be so grateful just to give an extra few minutes that you'd never put the minister under pressure the way that you do. But nevertheless, that's between you and the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus. Down at the cross where we first, the burdens of my heart rolled away. There by faith I received my sight. Now can you see? I once was blind, but can you see now? At the cross, at the cross, God has moved away the scale by Calvary, and the burden, your understanding being enlightened. This whole world of vanity is about run its course, and it's now and ever, now and ever, that you're going to be able to do something for God, coming to this understanding as the world will. Then if they turn away, there's no hope. While we sing this little chorus again, we're going to give you a chance to come to the altar. Let's just sing this chorus, Brother Taylor. Come into my heart,
Come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Can you sing it again?
So come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Gee, let's sing this little chorus, can we?
Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away singing and she came back bringing others to her that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water
that was not
from the well. Jesus gave her some water and she went forth to tell. She went away singing and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't
not from the well.
For Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water. She went forth to tell. Went away singing and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restores my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restores my soul. I'm bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil and the wine.
One more time.
Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the,
can you sing it one more time?
Jesus poured in that oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me pleading and dying.
One more time.
Jesus poured in that oil and that wine. It's that wine that restores the soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. As it was with the vision just before the serpent struck the bear. And as I say, when they strike our rock, they're going to strike the bear. And as to the serpent, as it was said here in Atlanta, Georgia, on the big sign, as to the serpent, don't tread on us. And everything's about there. And at that time, we had our people on the mantle. Because when the bear was struck, he went wild. So then the Lord is with us, and he's still helping us. He's still standing beside us. You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus. Is that the light all I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? The Lord standing high on heaven's mountain. It's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. My soul cries out, oh Lord, how long? Till my toiling ends, when you call me home. Since I caught a glimpse of my home in the sky, nothing in this world keep me satisfied. Is that the light so home I see? I feel a breeze from the crystal sea. The Lord standing high on heaven's balcony. It's the light of home, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and a thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet Bueller Land, my home, sweet home.
Sing it with me.
Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea? The Lord standing high on heaven's balcony. It's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing. Hearts of gold and a thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear the song. Sweet Bueller Land, my home, sweet home. Let's lift our hands up together. Now, as I said, it's getting closer and closer. I think most all of us that realize that, there's hardly any way that we could fail to realize that, knowing that the end of the world is here and all of the problems of the East
not going to be any peace. Somebody said, well, maybe we'll get some peace. The scriptures cannot be broken. And the Bible says there is no peace because the people are wicked. Somebody said, well, somewhere in the world there's a peaceable people. There's no peaceable people, not even the Jewish people that are a peace-loving people as to desiring peace. Their doings won't let them be peaceful, not even among themselves. They ravish and kill each other just like every other nation. So there is no peace. They cannot live peaceable with their neighbor because they don't have the Prince of Peace. But folks, we have the Prince of Peace. And we have the Prince of Life. And God is abiding on the inside of us. And all of the paths of God are peace. And the Bible said, he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. Isn't the world looking for peace? Isn't the world looking for health? Isn't the world looking for prosperity and blessings, security? Isn't the world looking for understanding? Folks, you have all of this. The world has none of that. The world could never find that. The Bible said they cannot see when good cometh. They'll never see when good cometh, but you have every bit of it. So, in that you have all of it, you don't have to go looking for it. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to ask anybody to give it to you. You don't have to do any certain thing. The Bible said all of them that are of God are of a good understanding. All you got to do is just love the Lord. He made you to love the Lord. Like the songwriter that wrote the song, I was born to love the Lord. That's what you're born for, is to love the Lord. He wants you to be healthy, have peace, have prosperity. It is the blessing of the Lord that maketh you rich and addeth no sorrow. It is God that giveth you the power to get wealth, not education. See, all of the glory has been taken away from God by the powers of Satan's cunning ingenuity to pervert men, to make them think themselves something when they're nothing. As to being vainly puffed up by their intellectual diplomacies of life, as praising one another, seeking honor of one another. The Bible said, how could you ever have honor of God? Honor comes from God. God raiseth up one. God puts down another. God gives good understanding. They're ever learning and never coming to a good understanding or as to the knowledge of the truth. They never have health. With all of their healing medicines, they can't find health. I believe it is 69% of the people that go to the hospital that either die or go out without any aid or any help. I believe the statistics said 69, that's almost 70%. So 30% of them that go in as to that find some kind of relief or something. So you see, the hospital isn't the answer. You go there, and as I've told you before, it has been a proven fact. I've been present where this happened. That one doctor gave a prescription. Another doctor, as a man stopped on the way home, he said, don't you dare take it, it'll kill you for sure. You don't know. See, you're dealing with the intellectuals. They don't know. They use you for a guinea pig, and if they don't make it in you, well, the next one that comes in, maybe they'll be able to handle it. And they're not interested in your health, and they're not interested in your life, and they're not interested in you as a people. And you're ignorant to think they are. They're interested in your money, and they're interested in your life as to enslave you to put you on the road. As a man one time said, after that, they had took all of my money. All of my money. Said the doctor, looked at me and said, you know, said, we found out we can't help you anymore. He said, why didn't you tell me that before you took all of my wealth? But it was like the little woman that had suffered many things of the physicians. You have suffered many things of the physicians as to being degraded, put down, and treated like pigs.
and she had suffered many things, but was no better, but rather grew worse. Folks, we need faith in God. You do what you can. And if anybody has any sense of reasoning as to getting help, I'm for it. But you'd better get your mind on God and your faith in God, and you better look to God, and you better ask God for help, and you better get away from that old intellectual devil that's taking your soul into hell and forcing you into degraded practices. Is it the Rick Gonzalez is here tonight, I believe it, little note said, and Tanya, I thought this was Tanya standing here. Tanya's here tonight. We're glad to have Tanya Floyd with us. And I believe the note said Rick Gonzalez. Did I look at that right? Junior Gonzalez. Okay. We're glad to have Junior. He's been with us a few times here. I don't know exactly where they live, but we're glad to have Tanya and Junior. We're glad to have you. If you're here, and I don't make mention of you, I always try to tell you this in my services, that we're glad to have you. We welcome you to come back. We're not playing a game. We're not here playing a game. We're not here just to pacify each other or for me to be their pastor and for them to be my sheep. I am sent from God to tell you that if you don't live right, you're going to hell, that your soul is going to be lost and you will never have a chance to start over. There are millions and millions of people in hell already. That's screaming, young boys and girls and men and aged people and doctors and lawyers and all kind of preachers and whatever. And they're screaming in hell and they'll never get a chance to start over. Never. So that I'm not here to try to pacify you. I'm here to tell you the truth. Though as a minister, as a shepherd, I love you. You are the sheep of my pastor. As to my service to God, and I love you as best that I know how to love you. But even as I love you, it is not I that love you, but God that loves you. Man can't love nothing. While he is of the devil, he can't love nothing. He is just a frolic fiend, a money-spending fiend, and he is good for nothing. I mean nothing. The Bible said he profiteth nothing. So then, unless you're born again as to become born to the Spirit, then you're nothing. But when you're born to the Spirit, folks, you don't have to try to get out here and publish your name to be made a great person, as to look for a reputation, as to vanity, or to take advantage of somebody with your intellectual brilliance, as the world terms it. God will take care of you. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will do all things for you. He's already given you all things that pertain unto life. See, so you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry at all. All things are yours. See, everything is already given to you, and you don't have to go after anything. You're already of a good understanding. You don't have to go after an education. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him as to the child of God and make him of a good understanding. And he shall be of a quick understanding. And all of them that are born of God are of a good understanding. And they said to Jesus, how is it that you know letters? You've never learned. You've never learned. But he knew letters anyway. He knew letters anyway. All right. Let's sing a little chorus. You know, I've watched children getting out of high school. I've especially watched them. And compared to a Christian, they are ignorant. I'm telling you. I've talked to them. And men getting out of college, like my brother Junior said one time, he said, I never knew people that got out of college were so ignorant and didn't know nothing. And he didn't even have any schooling. But being a Christian, he had been given so much. People that get out of college, they don't even know where to start with your understanding. I've talked to professors. And they don't have one inclination as to even where to start. It's rare to find one of them. And when you do find one of them, it's one that has rejected all of the others, counting it as loss and dung, that's determined to know nothing but Christ. And then you find some good sense in those people. But otherwise, the educational system is the pathway to hell. All right, let's sing another chorus.
And we
will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And we'll give Him glory, all people, for His blood has washed away every stain.
One more time.
And I will praise Him, my the Lamb for sinners slain, and will give Him glory, all people, for His blood has washed away every stain.
Can you close your eyes? Lift your hands with me.
We will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And we will give.
Think about it, Brother Morris Allen, to come up and dismiss us, if you will.
For the blood that's washed away every stain.
While we're standing here with our eyes closed and our hands lifted up,
I will
remember
that
the house of God should be filled up. To go ye out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in, the Bible says, that my house may be filled. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about heaven. Right now, at this moment, there's a lot of people that are shook up. As a matter of fact, we've had them to come to us in the last few days. And they're really shook up. Some of them, they come, they live on the campground. And they come and they say, I'm not right with God. I've had a number of them. They say, I'm not right with God. Brother Pike, pray that I'll get right with God. And they say, I'm in bad shape. And then they'll go on to say, you know, I'm in such a bad shape that I need to leave this place. And I don't want to go back out in the world. Do you understand? Somebody says, well, we understand, Brother Pike. No, I don't believe you do. Somebody said, well, they confessed. I think that's good. I think it's good too. They're only 10 years, 15 years behind, that's all. See, I tell you that you can't stay at a place and live at a place and spend your life at a place being contrary and not being right when the minister has talked to you. You can't do that and get by with that. You have all of that to reap. Even if God forgives you, you still have to reap all of those things because you had a knowledge of right and wrong. You heard it and you wouldn't do it. And a lot of times you actually shorten your days by your disobedience above all of the heartaches you've already had. So, did they do right? They've done right. But it's just like waiting until you get to the judgment. When you get to the judgment, you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I done wrong. I mocked. I laughed. I joked. I made a joke out of the preacher. I frolicked all during my lifetime. But Lord, you know that I'm sorry. I've decided that I want to go to heaven.
And do you think that God is going to listen to you? And do you think everything's going to be all right? And you think God's going to say, that's fine, don't worry about it. You wait until you get ready to die. And when you lay down to die, you say, Lord, I've changed my mind. And do you think God's going to listen to you? No, he's going to send you to hell. I say this so many times. They say, but Brother Pike, if a man will just get right on his deathbed, don't you know God will take him to heaven? Even if he's lived all of his life in sin, or if he's been a sinner and he's dying and he calls on the Lord, don't you know if he gets right with God, he'll go to heaven? Don't you believe that, Brother Pike? I sure do. The part that I don't believe is that he can get right. That's the part I don't believe. If he got right, God would take him to heaven for sure. But the part I don't believe is that he can get right. Somebody says, you mean to tell me? I mean to tell you that you can't blow a man's brains out, rape, destroy, ravish the earth, curse, drink, frolic, spend, be a dope addict and a drunkard and everything else. And then when you go to die, say, Lord God, forgive me. And the Lord take you to heaven. No, I don't believe he'll take you to heaven. Somebody says, well, bless God, Brother Pike. I didn't know that you thought like that. Well, you do now. I don't believe God will take him to heaven. God's got more sense than I got. And if there's anybody like that, that had spit in my face and cursed me and ravished my home and done everything else, and he was laying there dying, knowing that he was a devil incarnate, and when he got better, if he got better or if he survived, he was going and ravished some other home, that I should put my arms around him and tell him it's all right, don't worry about it. I wouldn't do that. Jesus loved even until the end, even Judas. He looked at him and said, friend, and his love is so great, and I'd try to have the same kind of love or pity for a person dying. But when Jesus actually gave the verdict as concerning Judas, he didn't say the poor boy is going to go out and hang himself. He said, I tell you that one of you will betray me. And he said, and I tell you it had been better if you'd never been born into the world. That's what he said. And as Esau, when Esau saw the birthright was gone, he wept. He cried. But God didn't change it. God didn't say, Esau, I understand. I understand, Esau. He didn't do that. He didn't say, you can have the birthright, I understand. The Bible said, though he carefully sought repentance with tears, he didn't find any place of repentance. And folks, I'm telling you, what you need to do is get right with God now. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Somebody said, but I still believe I can make it. Well, what if you don't? Somebody said, well, what if I do? More power to you. But what if you don't? Then you've got eternity to regret it. You'd better listen to the minister. The proper way to be born again is to repent of your sins and then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's unto you and your children as to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And if you don't get the Holy Ghost, the Bible teaches that you're not obeying God, for he gives the Holy Ghost as a gift to them that obey him. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And when you're laying on that bed, dying, knowing that you've been a devil and you've been a wretch, you're not going to make your heart believe. You can ask him all you want to and believe he's merciful, but you're going to find yourself intellectually convincing yourself to believe because of your problems, and most likely won't be able to even control yourself and keep your composure then, because the heart isn't going to believe. The heart isn't going to believe. The Bible said the only way that the heart will believe is for you to do the things that please God, and hereby you assure your heart, and then your heart hath confidence toward God that if you call on him, he hears you. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know that, but did you know devils and demons from the pulpit everywhere quote that kind of thing as to the word, like the devil quoted it to Jesus to blind people and never given them line upon line and precept upon precept? It does say that. But it don't say that calling on the Lord is the plan of salvation to save you. It says, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And confession unto salvation is made with the lips. And that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And so when you call on the name of the Lord, there's one thing that's got to happen. And that is, he's got to hear you. And the Bible said, when we do the things that please God, then do we comfort in our heart. And we know that he hears us. And when he hears you, then that kind of calling on the Lord will save you. Someone will say, well, I believe if you just call on the Lord. Well, if that be true, why is it that the multitudes that's called on him down through the years aren't saved? Why is it that there's tens of thousands and millions of them? Somebody told me today of a person that just lost their life. Said he was a Christian. Then I found out he was a preacher. I didn't know that. And that he even built a church. And yet the individual said, when I talked with him, he just cut me off and wouldn't listen. And then afterwards lost his life. Surely God would have listened in a case like that and spared the man's life. Surely he would have. But folks, I'm telling you again, you have the power to take your own life. I'm going to let you go. Just don't get restless. You haven't stood there that long. Just hold on. My land. Get your spirit in tune with God. God is the spirit. He's looking at your spirit. You just stand there looking at me don't mean nothing. Get your spirit in tune with God. Somebody said, well, I want to go. Well, why don't you go? I'm talking to some people. There might be a soul that needs this tonight. Why don't you go do what you got to do? And don't make me restless. Like I told someone the other day. I said, some of you men come around wanting to listen. And you're listening, grab something, you're ready to go. You make me restless the whole time you're out. I said, why don't you go on and do your thing? And leave us alone and let us do our thing in God. Why don't you do that? Because that's the devil's and the carnality and the carnal mind. To make me turn the service loose or make me quit before I feel that I've delivered my soul as to reaching whoever is out there. At the very last minute, sometimes, after hours, you reach them. What if God told me to stay here all night? Then what would you do? Boy, that would wreck your boat for sure, wouldn't it? But he's liable to do it. We have stayed here all night long. Somebody said, well, I would go home. Well, that's what I say. Why don't you go home? So then somebody said, well, you ought to not talk like that. Well, how should I talk? Would you like to come up here and tell me or tell the people? Maybe you could talk to him and you know how to talk. This is the way he taught me to talk. That if I give place to one devil as one spirit, it'll be a prick in my side. And he said, get them out of the church. Get them out of the church. Somebody said, oh no, Brother Pike. The Bible said, leave them alone and let them grow together. The Bible said, out in the world, leave them alone. And let them grow together. But in the church, he said, you purge out that old leaven, and you be ye a new lump. And the Bible said the wicked cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous. Somebody said, well, why are you saying all this? Because I'm still preaching. I'm not through yet. Somebody said, well, I've heard you, but you didn't hear me say that tonight. That's the first time I got around to it tonight. I said, well, we heard that the other night. I know, but there might be a new one here that hadn't heard it. Somebody said, well, we heard it and want to go home. Well, I can tell it didn't do you any good. You need to hear it all over again. The writer said, I know that you know these things, but while I'm abiding in this tabernacle, I need to stir up your pure mind. I know, lady. I know how you feel. How do you know how I feel, Brother Pike? Because I know the way you live. I know how you feel. If you'd have felt right, you'd have been one of us before, but you've never been one of us. You still ain't one of us. But because you're shook up, you're trying to ease in. But I tell you again, just like I told you a while ago, or all of them, just speaking, you're not going to get in like that. You're going to get rid of that old hypocritical spirit you got, and you're going to come in just like all the rest. And you're going to make your confession just like all the rest. Like some folks say, well, the Jews will get in, Brother Pike. No, they won't get in except through the blood. I can prove it to you in the Bible that not one of them will be saved except by the blood, just like you. No specialties with God. Paul said they're all under sin. All right. While you've got your heads bowed, have you got your heads bowed? I ask you to bow your heads. I ask you to lift your hands. See, can you have the Holy Ghost when God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him? And you were standing there finding fault with me when the fault was in you, that you wasn't even doing what I'd ask you to do as the minister. When the Bible said, submit yourself unto the shepherd, He watches for your soul. Then where is the fault? Where is the mind that's finding fault? All right. So then here we're tonight here because we love you. We want to help you. We want to, even though we have to press over your human reasoning and contrariness to keep you just long enough to try to indoctrinate you. You know, you're like a little child. A mother says, will you please sit down and eat before you run out? I got to go. Got to ride my bicycle. But will you, by the hand, she catches him and she sets him back down and he gobbles it down like a turkey, you know, and off he goes. And she knows that's no good for him. He don't have to know what he's going to do. He's just full of childishness. Folks, I told him the other night, I said, it's high time that you put away childish things. Paul said, when I was a man, or rather a child, I acted like a child. Now that I'm a man, I put away childish things. You make me stumble and stagger because of the evil resistance of carnality. It's enmity with God's Spirit and His moving. I'm not going to let you go till I feel to let you go anyway. If you get upset, go out the door like a bird, you know. It won't do nothing but just show you up in the condition that you're in that's causing me problems. So he said, well, I got other things to do. The doors are open. You're not going to do it. You know why you ain't going to do it? Because you're afraid to do it. But still, you're not going to submit to me either and honor me either. You're going to be a thorn in my flesh. And the devil's got you here for one reason. The Bible said false brothers, false sisters. Paul said I was in peril of false brethren. You're here for one reason, and that's to be a Judas, or that is to cause trouble, to run in and out, and be out chundering and back in here long enough to get our attention in here and for the people to see you affiliated with this and then back out there in the old mire so they can see the devilish things that you do, and then just as quick as you're down at the bottom and the devil has used you, then you run back in here to try to get in this again so that you can be numbered with us again. But the Bible said, if you'd have been of us, you no doubt would have continued with us. You wouldn't have been running in and out like that. Your mind would not have been like that. You need to swear to your own hurt one time and once and for all and get in with the saints of God and stop that foolishness as trying to bring the world into the church. For darkness and light don't mix. And that intellectual mind of yours is that old thing of the love of the world. The Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. And that old intellectual thing there, it's got you and you're a bond child. And you want the things of the world and you're trying to bring them into the church, whereas they have down through the years brought them into the sanctuaries. All right, so I feel the carnality moving out now. That's a shame that I have to go through all of that just to get your minds to stay for a few minutes. I'm going to tell you, as I've told you before, a man of the Old Testament gave God a little time and God added 15 years to his life. You learn to do this in the house of God, to know how to behave yourself in the house of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. You remember, you take 5 minutes away from the minister as away from God, and God may take 5 years off of your life. You learn to be patient and get rid of that old impatient carnality that just wants to get you out here to eat and drink and ride and talk, to take your time in the time takes your life. So you get rid of that, or if you let that go on, it's going to shorten your days. But if you can get rid of that and give God a little time, God will add 15 years, 20 years to your life. I say this again, that there are people that live to be aged people, and there's people still living today because they had time to go to church. Other people are dead at a young age, didn't live their life half out because they didn't have time to go to church. They were so busy with the flesh and the love of the world that they put all of their time in the things of the world, and they've had nothing but heartaches and sorrow out of it. Reaping vanity, because if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. That's all it has to offer. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. Remember, you're created when you're young. Somebody said, Brother Pike, when I get old and when I'm about to die, I want to change myself. How in the world could anybody be so evil as to want to use their body up with devils and then bring it to God when it's no good? The Bible says, remember your Creator while you can do something for God. Don't wait until you're just about dead and can't do nothing and just wanting God to do something for you. Folks, God delights in doing something for you if you'll just give Him a half chance in your lifetime. Remember the Creator while you're young and do something for Him. You girls and you boys, teenagers, stop this thing of running all over the world, everywhere. I find them all over the world. Somebody said, well, we don't run all over the world. Yes, you do. Some of you here, and I'm talking to people all over the world. These tapes go out all over the world. Running all over the world. I meet them on the plains and everywhere else. No, they're not rooted and grounded in nothing. They drift around like a bunch of wandering stars. Ain't fit for nothing. Morals gone, decency gone. Spending a fortune, their dad's mothers working, all these things. In jail, having to be paid out, running around with dope, all this filthy doings, just down with the dogs. I would to God, though it'll never be until Jesus changes the whole world system, but I would to God there was never another ball game. One of the dirtiest, low-downest, deceiving things in the world. Never another thing of sports. Never. Never of any kind, anywhere. In the whole wide world. That's right. And many other things I wish that there was not. Somebody said the other day that cigarettes had gone up. I said I wish it'd go up. I can't remember the figure, but maybe to $1,000 a pack or $5,000 a pack. It would suit me well. All right, folks, I'm not scolding you. I'm just exhorting you. The Bible said the more you see the day approaching, I see the day approaching. As a matter of fact, I see it right upon you. Let's just lift our hands and close our eyes. We're going to sing that little chorus one more time. The Bible said to take time to be holy. Seems like everybody in the church is down at the altar tonight. I don't hardly see anybody left anywhere around. Down at the altars, that is, down to the, here in the church tonight, they're down at the altar, most all of them. We're gonna sing this little chorus one more time together. And I will praise Him. Who will pray while you're praising the Lord? Let that come from your soul and from your spirit. The Bible said we serve God with our mind and with our spirit. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And give God your spirit tonight, for God is a spirit. He seeks such to worship Him in spirit. To where He can have hold of your spirit and you won't have to worry about your body. Your body don't do anything without your spirit. Just do those things that I'm telling you. And when you do those things, God will bless you in such a way. And you'll find yourself a daughter of the Lord, a son of God, a rich king, a priest, a princess before God, and one that is eternally alive, eternally youthful. The Bible said, and God will beautify the meek with salvation. Isn't it God that made you and made your form and made your face? And isn't it the abundance of life creates you and gives you the activation as to that illumination that makes you to shine like the stars of the heaven? It is all of this thing of following the world and the ways of the world that has stolen your youth and your health and your happiness and your strength. The Bible said Moses was 120 years old. And because he loved the Lord, faithful in all of his house, the natural sources of his body wasn't even abated. His eyesight wasn't even dim.
people who walk with God. Enoch walked with God 300 years. He didn't die. He walked with God. And the more we walk with God, the longer we'll live. And the less we walk with God, our life is taken away from us, for the wicked shall not live their days half out. But the Bible said if you would see long life, walk with God, refrain your tongue from speaking evil. Do that that's right in my sight, and it'll be well with you and your children all the days of your life. What's wrong with the children? I say again, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. They put out the only light that they have. Now, while we're standing here and they're playing on the instruments, why don't you ladies over there come up here to the altar with these young ladies that are standing here? Where is your desire for God? Years ago when I was converted, if somebody had come to the altar, the whole church would have been around them. And I mean, they had been praying for hours. When I prayed through, I didn't go up and shake somebody's hand. They got down there and they cried and they wept and they prayed till I cried and I wept. And it was hours before I got up from the altar. Somebody said, but I'm tired. I know you're tired. You're tired because you've given all of your life to the flesh, to the devil. That's why you're tired. People used to live to pray for people and to work for God. They didn't live to eat, to drink, to run their lives out with the foolishness of the flesh. They didn't do that. They didn't have their minds on the natural. They had their minds on the Spirit and on God. And they were great, virtuous, wonderful, holy, godly, powerful people that when they prayed, the angels of heaven listened. God listened. When they called on God, He heard them. He heard them. Because their conscience was clear. And this was their confidence that God heard them and He answered their prayer. Let's lift our hands and let's pray together. And you come up and pray with these young girls here that's wanting God. Somebody prayed for you. That's the reason you got God. You didn't get God by yourself. You never sought Him. He sought you. And that sometimes through an individual that He sent to get you and talk to you. Precious Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the service. Thankful tonight for the saints of God. And we're thankful tonight for everyone that has come to listen tonight. And Thou knowest, O God, that from my heart I have told them the truth. And You know that that's the truth, Father. Lord, and I am sent as was Jesus to bear witness of the truth. Father, and You said that we should serve You in holiness, righteousness, and in truth, in spirit and in truth, all the days of our life, and that we should not fear what man can do unto us, for the Lord is our helper. Therefore, Lord, we're not afraid of mankind throughout the world. As to what he can do, it matters little, for Thou art our helper, and Thou art our shepherd to lead us into the green pastures, and Heavenly Father, to fill us full of Thy knowledge and understanding, to give us a hunger and a thirst to where we want to go to church and we want to be a part of the move of God in the earth and we want to have the blessings of God as to Your Spirit, to have that health and prosperity and blessing. All of these wonderful things while others, Lord, cannot obtain unto it. For all shall be well with us, for all is well. All is well, Heavenly Father. Lord, is the song I read in the Bible where he said, all is well. All is well. I ask you tonight to save these young ladies, Father. Father, save these young boys and girls. Even as you've convicted their heart, Holy Father, save them. With your great, wonderful Spirit, break the yoke from off of them. And let the great, wonderful Spirit of Almighty God that I feel right now go into their hearts. Into their hearts. Father, into their hearts. Oh God, into their hearts tonight. Lord, you break every yoke that they may feel that peace, that tranquility, that rest. Lord, is the peace of a dove in their heart tonight. I ask you, Lord, let that be. Everyone that's not right with the Lord Jesus tonight, Father, that hears my voice, I ask you, Father, to bring a conversion in their heart. Save them. Forgive their sins. Move away the iniquity. Heal their bodies. Make them a bright, brilliant spot in the earth as to a light, that their light might so shine that men may see their good works throughout the world and glorify our Father which is in heaven, knowing that they will receive eternal life and an eternal youth and an eternal strength and an eternal glory, eternal riches, eternal blessings, to be magnificent, to shine as the brightness of the noon.